something for the weekend. Good morning, it is Trina Mari here, and we've got a guest in studio that I kind of know well. Andrea Mara, you're very welcome in.
Thank you very much, Trina Mara.
It is not a coincidence, by the way. You are, in fact, my sister-in-law.
Yeah, we better get it out of the way straight away.
We'll get it out of the way. You married my brother. And you've got a new book out. Now, this is not your first time, but I suppose let's take it back, because you didn't start off as an author when you left school. You went into a completely different career.
I did, yeah. I worked for 17 years in financial services, and that's what I was going to do for the rest of my life because I loved it, which might sound a bit weird to anyone working in financial services, but I really did. I loved working with people, loved the kind of spreadsheety side of the work as well, and the problem solving side. And I was 100% going to stay there for the rest of my working years until head office thought differently. God, that makes it sound like I got like fired.
No,
or
you
something.
Didn't. You're but a major dependent.
They decided to close our Dublin office and move the work to Luxembourg and India. So that was the end of it. It was either move to Luxembourg or India. And my kids said, no thanks to that.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
So I took the redundancy and decided to try out a completely different career in writing. Well, I had started blogging. So when I went back to work after my third maternity leave, I was really just addled by the whole thing of trying to balance work and kids and the commute and creche and everything else. And I couldn't find any forums or blogs about being a working mom in particular. And that's not to leave out working dads or not, to, I mean, working outside the home, obviously, mm-hmm. because we're all working. But just that very particular juggle that
of
I
having
think,
to get to yeah, the office as yeah. well as doing everything else.
Exactly. And I think certainly don't want to generalize, and your brother in particular was and is and always has been brilliant at doing his share. And I mean, certainly when we were both working full time, there was no question. We did 50-50. We just worked together to get dinners cooked and housework done and all the rest of it. But I would know from talking to people, there are lots and lots of women out there who really struggle with having to do, in particular, the emotional labour, as it's often called, like remembering the play dates and the birthday parties and buying the present for the birthday party and answering the WhatsApps in the school mom WhatsApp group, or dealing with the creche when something needs to be dealt with. Very often, not always, but often it's the moms who deal with that. So I looked for blogs and forums, couldn't find any, and I decided to chance writing my own. I had never done something like it, and I just Googled how to write a blog, and I set up officemum.ie.
So you gave yourself more work on top of everything else that you were doing.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, and people used to say, how do you find the time? But blogging was therapy. So it definitely was the letting off steam at the end of the day. And it really did something for me. So I was really doing it for myself, first and foremost. So after a long day at work and then a long evening getting the kids ready for bed and worrying about the fact that they'd been in creche all day and were they okay?
The guilt.
Of course they were. But I was definitely one of the guilt people who couldn't help it. And then instead of just kind of flopping on the couch and watching TV, I found I really enjoyed flopping on the couch and typing on my laptop. So it wasn't work, it was therapy, letting off steam. And I really, really enjoyed it. And I still do it. I still blog on Office Mum.
And you realise you're not alone when you get the feedback from the other moms as well. They're saying, yeah, we've been through that.
Yeah.
This is what helped me or whatever. So you got that bug for writing then?
Yeah, I did. And I started to, at the beginning, I was only really blogging about very serious topic of balancing work and home and gender pay gap and that kind of thing. And then I found myself at a wedding. It was one of Damien's friends. And the wedding, it really moved me seeing Damien and all his friends and what good friends they were after so many years. And I get really caught up in these kind of moments and nearly felt emotional about it. And, you know, we all had kids now, but things, when they got together, it was the same as ever, which is the same with my friends. And I wrote a blog post about that. And it was my first foray into a more sentimental, maybe, style of writing. And I really, really enjoyed that. And I got really nice feedback about that. So then I realized blogging is a great way. And actually, for anyone listening who's thinking about getting into writing, I would highly recommend starting a blog, because you can do it anonymously. I mean, I was anonymous for the first 6 months. Nobody knew I had a blog. Except Damien. And you don't have to put your name to it. It was Office Mum. It wasn't Andrea Mara at the time at all. And you can try out different styles of writing, different topics, and see what you enjoy doing and what other people respond to. So that's what I was doing, trying out all sorts of different serious and not so serious topics and humorous and sentimental. And, you know, I remember when my youngest started school, or maybe it was senior infants, and writing quite an emotional post about that, and it got a really nice response. So that definitely gave me a taste for writing.
It's kind of documenting your life as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you have all these posts there ready to look back at.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that side of it, because I'm a real, like, I have loads of photo albums at home and diaries. So this is an extension of that, because you've got your photos and diaries all in one electronic place where it'll hopefully stay forever.
Yeah. So writing a blog is one thing. Actually going out and getting published and writing your own books, and you're on to book number three, is something else. How did you go about that?
Well, I would always have thought writing books seemed like a very hard thing to do. So I had stories rattling around in my head, but I thought, ah, God, like, a book's very long. I don't know if I could do that. It's a bit longer than a blog post. And then there's an author called Margaret Scott, and she used to read my blog, and she commented one night saying, did you ever think of writing a book? And it was like she gave me the permission or the nudge to do it, because up till then I thought, nah, that's ridiculous. And then when she said it, it was like, well, maybe it's not ridiculous. So literally the next day I tried typing the first line of a story that had been in my head to see what would happen. And I remember messaging her and saying, I've written 2,000 words. And she's like, well done, only 98,000 to go. But, you know, she was right. But it was like getting those first words down on the page was huge. And again, for anyone listening who's thinking about writing fiction, you can plot and plan and have all the notebooks in the world. And it's good to do that. But really, just opening the Word document or whatever way you want to do it and typing that first sentence of fiction is such an icebreaker. And then once you do that, you can keep going. So.
And was the plan at that point, was the plan to get published? Or did you care?
I did care. Yeah, I did want, because it'd be huge now to write a book and not get published. I think most people who try writing a book do dream of being published. And like, it takes a long time to write a book. So you can't really help having that end goal. I think it would be hard to do, to keep going, if you didn't have that goal. And I thought that not that many people would surely write 100,000 words on spec. So I'd be able to get published because I had done that. I mean, more fool me, the amount of people out there who have 6 books in a drawer waiting to be published. Like, there's a lot of people out there. So I realised when I got to the end of my first draft and I asked someone who's an author, I said, what do I do now? And she says, go back and
ready.
Do it again. Yeah, exactly. I thought I'd just send it off to a publisher. And she's like, okay, that's your first draft done. Go back now and go through it and edit and rewrite. And that's your second draft. And you keep going until it's perfect. Then you try querying agents, not publishers usually, although in Ireland you can go directly to publishers, but you try to get an agent, and then the agent in turn is the person who tries to get you a publisher. So it was a much longer road.
All the contacts, they know the right people to go to, so you're not wasting your time, say, approaching a publisher that deals in, say, health books.
Exactly.
When you're doing, okay. So the first book, when you got published, talk to me about that day. How did you feel that day?
So it's always a roller coaster. I mean, every step on the way is amazing. Like, the biggest first step was being offered the publishing deal. So I signed a 3-book deal with my publisher, Pull Beg, and I was falling off my chair with excitement. And I remember Damien was way in London working at the time, and I couldn't wait for him to come home. Now, obviously, I told him on the phone, but he came home and he brought a bottle of champagne, like actual champagne, the proper stuff that we never normally buy, because this was a big deal. And then he was like, will we open the champagne? I was like, actually, no, because I still have to write the book. So maybe wait till the book's written. And then the book was written and I was like, yay, the book's written. Wait, what if the book's no good? No, we better not open the champagne yet. And then we said, right, we'll see what the publisher thinks. My publisher liked the book. We didn't have to go back and start over or anything. So that still wasn't time to open the champagne, though, because what if the readers didn't like it? And it just goes on and on. And I know from talking to other writers, this is very common. It's very hard to reach a point where you go, that's it, job done, I've achieved what I want to achieve. So in the end, I think we opened the champagne for somebody's birthday. We had to just disconnect it from the whole writing process. I think maybe the best moment was seeing the book on, so the first one, the other side of the wall, on a bookshelf for the first time. And in particular, being in the bookshop with the kids. I was in Dubray Black Rock, which is one of my local bookshops. And the kids were so excited to see it on a shelf, as was I. So that was a huge moment. I guess that was maybe the pinnacle.
And it's funny because I remember around the time a lot of people were saying to me, was I any relation to you? And I was like, yes, that is my sister-in-law because of the name Mara, to have seen your book. So that was the other side of the wall. Mm-hmm. That did particularly well.
It was great, yeah. I mean, it was hard to judge for me at the time, but looking back, yes, it did do well.
Absolutely.
The time, yeah.
Then you got on to book number two. So as soon as you've done your first one, you're kind of thinking about the next one.
Yeah, exactly. So I started writing One Click, which was inspired by a camping holiday in Italy where I had seen a woman on a beach and I was about to take a photo of her because she just looked really relaxed and chilled and happy with everybody babbling around her. And then I decided, oh God, I better not take a picture of a stranger. Imagine I put that on Instagram and she was on the run from the mafia, or I mean, what a stereotype. I'm in Italy on holidays. Oh God. But, or she's running away from her ex-husband or something. And
she does not want to be identified.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. She's in witness protection. And I didn't put her on Instagram, but I did think, well, hang on, imagine if I did and something happened. And that became One Click, which was my second book out 2 years ago. So yeah, and I thought surely second time round it'll be easier, but you're just as nervous when it's coming out. It doesn't really get any easier, perhaps a little bit in terms of you understand now how the process works, how the editing and the publication date and the launch and all of that, but you're as nervous as ever waiting.
Do you get quicker at writing though?
I don't know necessarily if you get quicker, but maybe more organized. Like I now have a rhythm. I have a spreadsheet with about 25 tabs in it, which would be for tracking chapters and word count and characters and plot lines and subplots and all that kind of stuff. And now I know immediately to start my spreadsheet because that's how I work best. I know other people would run a mile from having a spreadsheet when it comes to writing a book. So maybe not quicker, but perhaps more organized.
More of a plan. Mm. And then the third book. Mm-hmm. So the third book is called The Sleeper Lies and just published. You had your book launch on Thursday night.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a thriller. It's a mystery. And it's set in the snow of 2018. So I don't know if you remember The Beast from the East.
You remember it well. Yeah. I remember being stuck at the bottom of a hill with a baby in the back of the car and not being able to move the car.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
That's snow,
exactly. Yeah. So that's when it's set in a fictional version. So I had to kind of rejig the days a little bit to suit my plot. But basically, my character, Marianne, wakes up one morning and looks out her window. Her garden is covered in snow. Marianne lives in the middle of nowhere in Wicklow. Her nearest neighbour is a mile away and she sees that there are footprints all across her front garden right up to her bedroom window. So she's understandably a bit creeped out, wondering who's been sneaking around her front garden in the middle of the night. And it goes on from there. She has a family secret, of course, because I love family secrets. And she has an interest in true crime. So she likes looking into old cases, unsolved mysteries, that kind of thing. She would be a big fan of all the current Netflix documentaries on true crime, things like The Staircase and Making a Murderer. And she is in a group, an online group, that look into one particular serial killer over in the UK. So there are three different stories that are woven together and she's wondering throughout the book, is there a link between her stalker, the person who's coming into her garden at night, and either her family secret from her past or this kind of interest in cold cases and real life crime that she has.
Oh wow, okay. Now there is a huge interest, of course, in all those crime documentaries at the moment. Did you see the one about the cats?
I did see
the one about the cats.
Yes, I did.
It's called Don't Beep with Cats.
Yeah.
Have a look at it on Netflix.
Yeah, I thought that was because the people in that are armchair detectives and Marianne, my character, is an armchair detective. And I loved the series, but I was also delighted to see that there was now a mainstream depiction of armchair detectives because my character has to keep kind of, she's a little bit embarrassed about her hobby, her interest in amateur sleuthing, and she has to explain herself, and I kind of thought, well, I kind of have to explain her as well. But now with that Netflix series Don't Beep with Cats, it's gone more mainstream.
Yeah. Can I ask you, how do you find the time to do this? Because you're still mom to three small kids, you're still juggling everything. This is a huge commitment, writing books at home, because you have to be very disciplined to actually sit down and get started in the morning, don't you?
Yeah, so I have the morning now while the kids are at school, which is great. It kind of gives me about 4 hours in the morning. And if I have that solid 4 hours just to plough through writing, it's okay, I can get it done. But if anything at all is happening in the morning, if I have to be somewhere, it's kind of the morning gone, because it eats up that whole 4 hours if I go somewhere, or even something simple like a dental appointment. So, but at the same time, I don't wish time away, because the kids are still young and time will come when they're in secondary school and they won't want me anywhere near the school picking them up. And I'll probably look back wistfully to the time when I would pick them up at school every day. So I'm OK with that. I do think I'm very lucky to have this. So I don't need childcare at the moment. I'm writing while they're at school and I look after them in the afternoons. And it can be tough, obviously, like it is for everyone, because there's no real break. Like, I literally close the laptop and run out the door when it's time to pick them up. But I think I'm really, really lucky to get to do this from home and be able to look after the kids in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's a whole different life, isn't it, doing all these kind of interviews and from your past career working in financial services. No looking back though, you absolutely love it.
I do, yeah. And it's funny because I had to walk through the IFSC to come here, and it was really interesting to walk past my old office and remember back. And I realised I do have very happy memories of working there, and it was a nice feeling walking through the IFSC, and it was all very positive and all very good, but I wouldn't change anything. I'm glad I had that time. I was 17 years in financial services, and I'm glad I had that time, and I'm really glad that I have this time too, and this is what I want to keep doing.
Okay, well, remind us the name of your latest book, and actually the other two books as well. We'll give them a plug while you're in here as well. Give us the names of those.
So the current book is The Sleeper Lies, available in all good bookshops. And if you don't see it on the shelf, just ask for it, because staff may have it hidden behind, or they can order it in if it's sold out. And the other two books are One Click and The Other Side of the Wall.
Brilliant. Thanks so much for coming in. We'll see you over the weekend. Thanks. For dinner. My sister-in-law. Thanks so much. This is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.